Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And great to be with you on this Tuesday as we roll through the week together, getting ready for the next round of the NCAA basketball tournament. A lot going on in football. Dez Bryant's catch against Green Bay was ruled no catch, and under the new rules would still be no catch.
And would still be wrong.
No, I. You know what? I disagree with that.
Really? You think it's okay? You think you have to make a move?
You gotta catch the ball. Okay, catch it.
But if you have control all the way down to the ground, and when you hit the ground, the ball comes free. Isn't that the same? Okay, but let me ask.
Incomplete.
Isn't it the same as the ground causing the fumble?
No. Okay. No. Incomplete. You gotta catch the ball.
Okay.
Ground causing the fumble is when I've already got possession of the ball and I've already been running with it. You got to catch the ball. He didn't catch the ball.
What if you catch the ball, roll to your back, and then in the process of finishing the roll, lose control of the ball?
Incomplete. Next, move on.
I just wonder what the line was. That's all.
You got to catch the ball. He didn't catch the ball. He made a remarkable athletic play, but did not catch the ball.
Well, at least they addressed it. I'll put it that way. At least they addressed it and now have catches.
I mean, you got to catch it. He didn't catch it. He just did not catch it. Arkansas coach Brett Bielema wants to... is still campaigning for pace of play. He says that up-tempo offenses can add as many as 5 games to a season for a player.
You know,
if you play one every week,
I'm more willing to understand or at least give his side of the thought a little more thought now, because of the fact that he's talking about numbers and adding more plays, adding more games, instead of just complaining about not being able to substitute. But there has to be a study.
Well, it's obvious the number of plays that are being run. You're out there running 90 plays as opposed to 60.
But what I felt was always a weak argument is defenses don't have a chance to substitute. Well, odds are the offense isn't substituting either. And correct me if I'm wrong, but those offensive linemen are almost as big as those defensive linemen. So you can't use the big guys need a break argument.
Well, the number of plays though is something that is a legitimate argument.
That's a different point of view, and one that I think deserves some discussion.
Because when you're looking at the number of plays in a game, it does change. You know, instead of running 90 plays, instead of running 60, you're running 90 plays. Well, suddenly over a 3-game span, you've now asked your defensive players to play one extra game if they're all doing the same thing, if you're playing a bunch of teams that play like that.
You know, and I also think it puts an added amount of stress on the officials to spot the ball properly.
Right. Well, it puts pressure on them to properly spot the ball, get out of the way.
Right.
And start the play. I know that they fouled up the end of the Wisconsin-Arizona game 2 years ago by what they did. And Wisconsin is not a hurry-up team, but they were in a hurry-up mode. They were trying to, win the game. It's a two-minute offense. Jameis Winston pushed an official out of the way. Like, we're going to snap the ball. Well, no, Jameis, you're not going to snap the ball until he's out of the way. He's the official.
Isn't that a penalty? Isn't touching an official a penalty?
Yeah, but it was a
I'm making a joke on that one. Yeah, but
yeah, but number of plays, pace of play, that's always going to be important. I mean, there's no question about that. And it's something that's come up more and more because teams do run at various tempos. Now, the ones that go out there and run like Baylor does, for example, at the tempo they go at, while I do not find it enjoyable, it is one of those gimmicks that allows them, I think that's their formula for winning. It's part of the gimmick of winning at Baylor. I mean, every coach has their own way of trying to think as to what gives them, based on their talent, the best chance to win. Tony Bennett in basketball needs to slow the game down, needs to grind it down, needs the game to be in the 50s for his team to have a shot to win. In football, Art Briles needs the game up-tempo, out of control, needs to make sure you don't substitute, needs to put you on your heels, and we're going to go fast, 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 and faster. That's our formula for winning. And, I mean, for certain coaches, that's what they need to do to win, where if you do it conventionally, I don't think they can win. I think if Virginia plays an up-tempo game with the guys that they have, they're not going to win. I think if Baylor plays a conventional huddle-up way, they're not going to win. They're going to be a 7-5, 8-4 team.
Well, the defense's argument is we haven't been able to substitute different defenses in. Well, you know, maybe you need to go back to a less complex version of football and play with the players that are on the field and form your defense out of that instead of focusing on this package and that package and your third down package.
Well, here's the issue I have with what they're doing with no huddle. I question how often they're set.
Well, that's a great point that nobody's really talked about.
I question how often they're in the right formation. When I break out of the huddle, I have to have seven guys in the line of scrimmage. When you're going at breakneck speed, I'd like to see a tape of how many times Baylor has seven guys in the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and going on first sound like they do a lot of times, there's no time for the official to make a decision on that.
Right. Do you have seven guys in line of scrimmage? Is a guy covered or uncovered? All right, because you have two guys at a wideout up in the line of scrimmage, and there's a tight end there. He's covered. Right, you've covered up the receiver. I'd like to know whether everybody is set when they do it. I'm not so sure when I watch Baylor play they're set every down.
When did the, you know, I thought about this as I was watching games over the last couple of years, especially third down situations. I see a lot of offensive linemen in a two-point stance. Now, I realize that if they move even a little bit, rock or whatever, it's a flag. But when did that start? When did the two-point stance start? Because it's really tough as a defensive player to watch the guy's hand in front of you or the ball, and the ball, I should say, if he doesn't have his hand down.
Well, I mean, almost everybody does that.
For years, you were taught to watch the guy's hand in front of you. When it moves, then go get him.
Well, that's why, for example, they'll go on, sound or whatever. The tackles don't hear the sound sometimes,
right?
Especially when they're on the road. And what happens is it's up to the guard to look at the center and squeeze the hand of the tackle, and that's when the tackle knows the ball snapped. That's how they do it. That's why you see linemen holding hands up front. That's why they do it. They do it because what happens is they squeeze the hand of the tackle. That tells the tackle the ball's been snapped. Didn't know that, did you?
Well, listen, the times that I was playing and or coaching, we did not have sound as an issue. The only thing we had to worry about was whether the quarterback's voice cracked when he called the signals.
That's just not good. That's just so low.
No, I mean, it's just the age I'm working with here.
That's just low. It's just insulting to the kids? I mean, do the kids know that you go on the air and insult them like this?
Yeah, I think they do. They've accepted it. They're all right with it. They think it's actually kind of humorous that I even mention it.
Oh, boy.
You really talked about that? That's cool.
Wow.
Blue 4D. You got to be a little bit louder.
God.
I can't hear you.
That is just... It's been an interesting day. Once again, I was listening to the major four-letter network radio show earlier today. They're going on about the quality of the play of the NCAA tournament. You know what really struck me about that? The four-letter network doesn't carry the tournament.
That's fair.
It's amazing.
They carry the women's side, but yeah.
They feel a little freer to criticize a little level of play.
You don't hear them talk about the NBA that way, do you?
No, it's you know, it's the elite league. It's and which it is. I mean, and look, NBA basketball. It is. That's why I laugh about the can Kentucky make the playoffs? No. Kentucky would be lucky to win 10 games in an NBA regular season. All right, if they played in the NBA over an 82-game season. I mean, they'd be lucky to win 10 games.
Could Kentucky beat last year's Sixers team, though?
Yes. No, they could not. No, they could not. And I mean, and I'm sorry, could they beat them once? Yeah, they could beat them once.
Not on a regular basis, though.
But if you go over 82 games, there's no way. There's no way they could. It's just the players at that level are just that good. Just at that level. There's no, I mean, no getting around. If you don't think it is, then I think you're really fooling yourself. It's just like when I go to an NFL game. You know when I really notice in the NFL, like, wow, look at the special teams. The speed on special teams. Everybody can run. No chariots of fire as they do that one. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hey, guess what day it is?
Tuesday.
No, it's Hyundai.
Hyundai!
Remember, every day is Hyundai?
Hyundai!
And it's the Lease We Can Do sales event going on now at Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
Hyundai!
The Lease We Can Do is cut the crap and give you low payments and no money down. Lease a 2015 Hyundai Sonata SE for only $237 a month for 36 months with zero down. Zilch. Nada. Or lease a 2015 Hyundai Elantra SE for only $183 a month for 36 months. Again, no money down. Or you could go green. Lease a 2015 Hyundai Sonata Hybrid for $250 a month for 36 months, and you guessed it, zero due at sign. No hidden fees, no plus tax, and blah, blah, blah. It's the lease we can do. These cars are here, these deals are real, and they're only at your home for Hyundai, Sunbury Motors Hyundai,
Hyundai.
In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, where every day is Hyundai.
Hyundai!
Lease is based on 10,000 miles per year, zero total due assigning with approved HMFR Tier 1 financing tax included. See dealer for complete details.
Kevin Herr.
I picked that song because it was a hit when you played football.
White Jacket. Dance floor cleared. Kevin takes over. Starts the strutter across the dance floor. White Jacket removed. White Jacket flung into the crowd, caught by some mysterious woman. We welcome everyone back.
Unless it's You're airplane, then it flies back at you.
Well, yes, the Robert Hayes. Yes. So, yeah, we got a lot to talk about today. Alex Walker is going to join us, so we're going to talk a little bit about Gonzaga and about Louisville. He covered the Seattle region in the NCAA tournament. He'll join us at 4:06. Ken Marangola from hogshaven.com. We're going to talk about the Redskins. I'll bet that's an entertaining beat to discuss what's going on there. You and I both know what direction they should go with their first pick. The problem is Dan Snyder doesn't want to do it. How many times can you trade up to number two to get a quarterback? I thought it was interesting that the Redskins re-signed Colt McCoy. I thought that was really interesting. really interesting. They also have to replace Brian Arakpo, too. So, do they go with a rush defensive end to start out? Been a lot of talk about Vic Beasley from Clemson. I talked to Tim Sutton, who was a producer for ESPNU, and I talked to Tim before I did the Pinstripe Bowl. And I've worked for Tim for many years because Tim had been at Big Ten Network and had done assignments. And he was talking to me about how they decided for the broadcast that they're going to put a camera specifically on Vic Beasley. I said, okay. And he said, it was a disaster. I said, why? He said, Beasley didn't make a play all day. I said, yeah, I know. I watched the tape. I said, that was the tape I requested. It was BC Clemson. He goes, oh, God. Well, this is one guy the Redskins are considering picking. And Beasley's a good player. I think he's not bad. I think he'll be a good, functional, good player at the NFL level, not a Pro Bowl guy. Quick off the edge. Okay in space. Very good against the run. You want him to attack the quarterback, he'll attack the quarterback. He'll do some good things there. And he'd be a guy I think that would be a serious consideration. I think the Redskins pick, what, at five?
I'll go with you because you're usually, if not right, close to it.
But I thought the signing of Colt McCoy was interesting. He stayed there. Now, I think they have to make a decision about eventually moving Kirk Cousins. And Cousins has one more year in his contract. What does RG3 have? What, 20 more years? Something like that.
Seems that way. Washington kinda is at key. Five, yes.
Yes, Washington's at five.
I don't think they have any compensatory picks either. Not that that matters, but...
They need as many as they can get.
Is this like 3 years without one I remember looking at somewhere?
I mean, now they signed, Stephen Paella, and they signed Terrence Knighton. They'll need help at corner. They need help at rush end. They actually are in really good shape, I think, at skill spots. I think they're in really good shape at skill spots, except for the quarterback spot. Again, this goes back to if you can get your hands on a guy that, I mean, if they were even to get a second-level type of quarterback, say they had a quarterback like a Ryan or a Phillip Rivers or somebody like that, the Redskins would be dangerous. I mean, they would be dangerous if they got that kind of quarterback. I mean, to get a guy even to that level, that second-tier guy, a second-tier guy with the skill players the Redskins have, would make them a very dangerous team, especially because Jay Gruden has a great offensive mind. They don't have that guy. So we'll talk a little bit about the Redskins in the next half hour and about the NFL in general coming up. Expansion of playoffs, LA situation, and the fact that no matter what Dez Bryant does, it still was not a catch against Green Bay. You got to catch the ball, which means when the play's over, you're actually holding it.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Steve, just in for the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Pete this weekend, there will be 10 push-to-pass available to the drivers for 15 seconds each.
The audience is certainly enriched by that information. All right.
Call that 10 good IndyCar seconds.
No, I really even can't go that direction. You didn't even know the race was this weekend. All right. You thought it was last weekend.
I thought there was a race before St. Pete.
Repeating, you thought there was a race last weekend.
Yes, not this race, but I thought there was one.
That's not good when even the big fans don't know.
Yeah, that was pretty sad.
Yes. All right. We'll talk about the Redskins in a bit. Then Alex Walker is going to join us to talk about the NCAA basketball tournament. Alex covered the Seattle region where he saw Gonzaga and he saw Louisville. And we're going to talk to him about what he saw and how good they are. There's some people that are wondering, is Kentucky good or bad for the tournament? Look, they're good for the tournament. There's nothing wrong with that. I think having a team that's 36-0 with a target on its chest, people like that. People are going to watch to see how good they are, and people are going to tune in to watch to see if they're going to lose. And the ratings are really good on Kentucky games. They're really good. Now, they will be challenged against West Virginia. They will be challenged. There's no question about that. And I just don't, I can't picture the Harrison twins playing the kind of game that John Calipari would love to see them play against this kind of defense. I see them getting into trouble a few times as the game goes. But in the end, I'm not sure West Virginia shoots the ball well enough, and they don't have enough inside game to take care of Kentucky. But Kentucky has been really good for the tournament. And the ratings show they've been really good for the tournament. I think some people think, oh, they blow by Kentucky on the channel and they go to the next game. That's not what happens. And Ken Marangola joins us from hogshaven.com. Ken, welcome. First time on the show. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. It's a real pleasure. How are you doing today?
Doing very well. Thanks for joining us. Ken, you and I both know the direction the Redskins should go in, yet we both know Dan Snyder won't go in that direction. So there they are sitting at 5. What do you think some of the options are off the top?
Well, I mean, obviously, if you ask me, I'm reaching for the tackle, the offensive tackle. I think that's not as popular of an opinion, and certainly not in Scott McLuhan's history. He doesn't typically take offensive linemen that high. There's going to be a guy there, whether it's Ray, Gregory, or Williams. One of those three defensive players will be on the board and will most likely be rated as best player available when the Redskins select. I call him McLovin, so I kind of keep telling myself, people don't know that's who I refer to him as, but McLovin, he's the best player available guy. He always has been, and I think there is a, whether you call it a fear in some corners or an expectation, maybe some people would refer to it as, if Mariota is on the board, if he is in fact the best player available, I think it's in McLovin's makeup to take him, but I think that I don't think that's a pick he would make, and I just don't think that's what they would do.
After losing Brian Arakpo, is a guy like Vic Beasley a possibility from Clemson?
Most definitely. It's funny too because a couple months ago, Vic Beasley was being—he wasn't anywhere close to in the conversation, and now he is, and maybe he always should have been. I mean, he's had a good few weeks of workouts, but he's a horse. He's a guy who can do exactly what we need on the defensive side of the ball. He can apply pressure. He's athletic. I don't know how well he can hang with some of the top tight ends in the league, or even if they would ask him to do it. Something Arakpo struggled with. But Beasley's absolutely in play. I still think they got Ray and Fowler ranked higher. Beasley would have to be a guy that the Redskins love to take him.
Yeah, Fowler is definitely, I think on most boards, Fowler would be ranked higher. He would fit well in, especially with the free agent signings at defensive tackle, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's all about the trenches. I mean, you win the game with the line of scrimmage, and, on the both sides of the ball, and we've struggled on both sides of the ball in the trenches for the last few years. So, addressing, bringing three big bodies in who are all likely to contribute in a meaningful, material way next season. Those are the kind of guys you bring a rookie linebacker in and play behind. So I can see that.
Give me the level of frustration in Washington when I look at the skill positions. I really like the Redskins' skill position players with one extreme notable exception. What's your thought on that?
I'm assuming quarterback. I mean, you know, look at what we've done, you know, as long as Snyder's been there. I mean, we're talking about shiny objects, attractive, good-looking toys. And we've always had them. I think you're right. I think if you look at our current batch, it's pretty impressive. I didn't like losing Roy Helu. I thought he was a real, you know, key cog to what I know they really like Silas Red. But you know Garcon and Jackson. I love Andre Roberts. You're still looking at a tight end spot that probably could use a little injection this season, but you're doing just fine there. Quarterback is such, I mean, it's like picking a scab every, you know, 5 seconds. I mean, it's just like, what could they possibly do to screw this situation up more? Besides, you know, obviously naming some guy the starter who has, you know, done next to nothing, you know, to get it. But that's where we are. I'm with you, man. I love what we have. But the whole, you know, the skill positions, especially on offense or only on offense, the key is getting them the ball, you know, and I'm just trying to figure out how we're going to do it.
Ken, let's get maybe to round three. If a guy like Garrett Grayson from Colorado State, who I'm pretty high on, to be honest with you, in round three, is that a guy the Redskins would be worth them taking a quarterback?
See, I love this question because I'm a huge Garrett Grayson guy. Now, I don't think Garrett Grayson comes in and starts for you. I don't think he's a guy who you put in the field in year one. I don't think he's there.
Agreed.
But I love, you know, this is where, like, I sometimes get myself in trouble, right? Because I fall in love with these guys. I know that he's not a guy who's going to save us right away, and he might not ever be that guy. But at the third round, I'm hearing that someone's probably going to take him mid to late third round. So if you want him, you probably got to make a move in that range, and it probably means the Redskins doing a trade. I don't think he's a good pick for us at the top of the third round because, you know, that's, you know, since we pick so high, you know, our second round pick is basically a low first, or our third is a low second, and those are the guys you need to come in and you need them to be starters, and especially for the Redskins. You know, the other half of this, you know, answer, Steve, is there's a lot of teams who will be making picks in every round of this draft, and none of those players are slated to come in and start. And that's because the teams are so good, they're so sound, they're so built, you know, well built.
Right.
You know, it's possible and conceivable that the Redskins can upgrade starting positions into the fourth round this year, and that's not a good thing. So it's like, you know, Garrett Grayson, he is an answer to a question we have at quarterback, in my opinion. He's a project. He's a guy who I think definitely does what Gruden wants out of the quarterback position. I hope he doesn't go in the third round. I'll tell you this, if he goes in the third round, he probably won't be ours. But if you tell me right now that he will be selected in the first half of the fourth round, I would put, you know, even money that we could be involved in that.
Yeah, okay. That's an interesting answer, and I see exactly where you're going with it. What is the future, in your opinion, of Kirk Cousins?
Oh, God. I mean, I was at those games last year. I mean, he just threw it right to the other guy. It was uncanny. It was actually unbelievable. It looked like me out there. And you could see the hands in the air from Gruden in the postgame presser. And when he would talk to us, you know, about the quarterback, he had no idea that was going to happen. He didn't know what to do with it. They wanted to keep him on the field for the rest of the season. And Cousins forced their hand. I think that they still... there's people in the building in Ashburn, in my personal opinion, that think that Kirk Cousins is absolutely a professional quarterback that can start games and win them at this level. I think that they are dying to give him that chance. And, you know, you got him working out with John Gruden. My personal opinion, I think he's a starter in this league somewhere. I think he's a confident guy. I think he's learning how to deal with adversity in an interesting way. I mean, he was so bad. Those interceptions were so bad, they set his professional career back. And he was only out there for a few games, and they just didn't know what to do with it. I think he plays in this league. I think he is a player, and I don't know if I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid, but I absolutely think he's a starter in this league in the near future.
How much of Griffin's problems are Griffin's, and how much are Griffin's problems someplace else?
Oh, Steve, man, I'll tell you what. I never appreciated the amount of problems that are on him. And it's not, he's not a bad guy, and he's just an ordinary person with respect to his confidence and with respect to his sensitivity. Right. I never had a handle on exactly how much those things, were just front and center in his mind. The things that he needs, for the feelings he has about himself to be good, it's bad. And I think that's a huge, huge thing. However, just like so many other guys who we've brought in, whether free agency or through the draft, I said this before, and I hate to say it, but the Redskins at times, and certainly in the last decade or so, have created the perfect environment for people to come and fail. And it's a bad thing. It's culture. It's toxic. It's an environment that starts at the top. Is it being changed today? I sure hope so. But they take a ton of accountability, and Snyder gets a ton of the blame for what's happened to him, because the things that went on in that locker room over the last 2 years, they don't happen in a lot of places in the NFL. Certainly not places that are used to winning, and it's a real shame.
Ken, you and I both know that in this league, you can go from the bottom to a playoff team within a year. If you give somebody 2 years, you really increase your odds of doing it. What kind of sense do you get from McLovin, the plan he has in mind to move the Redskins into a spot where they can be one of the six, or down the road, seven, playoff teams on one side?
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. I mean, first of all, you just wrote my annual article where I say, hey, it can happen to anyone. We're anyone, and it's like oh, slow down, there's a reason. There is the attrition, the turnover in the playoffs is real, Redskins fans are conditioned to thinking it could happen to us. Whereas the real answer is, these teams, the teams that are the new teams in the playoffs, that come from the bottom, they're making it happen, and I think McLovin is the kind of guy who I do believe will make it happen. And the way that he goes about his business, if you say it's a 2 or 3 year job to make the Redskins contenders on a regular basis, you can't do it in year 2 or 3 without doing things he's doing today, beefing up the defensive line, hopefully injecting the offensive line with some youth and talent. You can't get there in 2 or 3 years without doing these. So he's hitting singles right now.
It's the unsexy stuff. I mean, that's exactly the thing. The unsexy stuff wins games for you.
Exactly, and he's starting that route out. And I think, is it possible for us to be that way in the next season? Of course, it absolutely is. But then, if you just open up, if you just move the blinders out a little, and trust me, I wear some huge, huge blinders. But if you peek out the side of them, you're still looking at. Dallas, the Giants, and the Eagles, just in our own division, and all these other teams. You don't. No one expects Atlanta to be as bad again as they were last year. No one expects the NFC South to be that terrible. And so it's a struggle to make it happen for yourself. And if the Redskins are interested in being that team, they've got to transition from the hey, it could be us to we're going to make it us.
Ken Marangola is the managing editor of Hogshaven.com. Ken, an absolute pleasure. I hope it's the first of many times we talk on the show.
Absolutely, Steve. Looking forward to it. Please have a great week, and we'll talk some more coming up to this draft.
All right. Ken Marangola joining us from Hogshaven.com. We will come back with more in a moment. We're also going to talk with Alex Walker about the NCAA basketball tournament next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hail to the Redskins! Hail, victory!
They used to play that after touchdowns. And then they realized that they weren't ever singing it.
Oh, that's cold.
They have a lot of talent on that offense at their skill position. They have it. If they could just get the ball to them.
Have you ever heard of the non-offensive version of that? Did I ever play that one for you?
No.
I'll have to find that one of these times. There is one that that talks about the name issues that have come up over the last several years.
That'll become more, if the Redskins win, it becomes more of an issue. You know, the more that they're down and out, and the fact that Dan Snyder owns them, it becomes, I think, an even greater issue because he owns them and he's a target to begin with. I think there's more to it than just the name. I think the fact that he's the owner of the team adds into some of the zeal with which some people go after the nickname.
Here's the version that's friendly. It takes out anything that's offensive. So, and of course, at the end, there's also one other thing. Because a lot of people feel DC is offensive. So that takes out all the offensive terms in that song.
Why is the District of Columbia
really
offensive?
Really?
Because I don't know.
Because of politics? It was a, political joke.
Oh. Okay.
Hang on, it'll bounce around in a few minutes.
Oh, well. Top of the hour news, then Alex Walker on the NCAA tournament in the next half hour. Looking forward to that. Talk a little bit about Gonzaga, a little bit about Louisville, a little bit about Kevin's bracket. Thus, we'll talk about teams that are out.
I found, though, in talking with people around the office that there's a few with 12 and 14 still in the Sweet 16.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Yes, and they're also the same people that got massive refunds in their IRS from the IRS. ask them how they did that.
I look at it this way. If you get into the Sweet 16 this year and still have three of your Final Four, that's considered success.
I don't think so. The East region is you're down to Oklahoma, Louisville, Michigan State, NC State.
You know, the winner of that region could come out of the Oklahoma-Michigan State game.
Could. Louisville's playing better. NC State's playing pretty well right now. NC State's lucky they're in this spot. The LSU game, they should have lost. But they found a way to get the ball tipped in at the end, so they advanced. And then they put together a great game against Villanova, where Villanova, for whatever reason, played lost. Villanova acted like a team that had something to lose. And they were absolutely accurate about that. They did have something to lose. Alex Walker on the NCAA tournament. Kevin, in the final half hour, will break down every position wins above replacement. You're now asking, where did that come from?
Yeah, we haven't talked about that in months.
I'm just trying to get you actively involved.
Thanks.
So we scratched that idea?
Yeah, it's going to take too much time. I have to research that.
James Harrison, 2-year contract with the Steelers. And a related note, Mel Blount signed a 10-day deal.
Oh, now stop.